The following sermon, entitled The Lord's Goodness to All, was preached on the evening of May 2nd, 2021, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church of Redlands, California. If you enjoy listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on service times and upcoming Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Scripture reading this evening is found in Psalm 145. Our text is the ninth verse of that psalm. We read the entire psalm, Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this evening is found in the ninth verse. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that you and I would praise the Lord for his goodness. because he is good. We might not always see that because of our weak eyes of faith, because our faith is an imperfect faith, so that we may at times doubt that. Maybe when sickness strikes a family, or when controversy comes to a denomination, or a marriage experiences difficulty, we might, in our lack of faith, question whether God is good. But our questioning it, beloved, and our lack of faith does not change the truth. And in fact, the whole alphabet is not enough to give God the praise for his goodness to you and to me. The psalmist uses the whole Hebrew alphabet minus one letter. We don't know why he skipped one letter, but he goes through each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and gives reasons to praise God. He praises God for who he is. He praises God for his mighty acts at the beginning of the psalm, verses 1 to 6. He praises God for his glorious kingdom. And now you understand, those mighty acts are not just some mighty acts out there, but his mighty acts to save us. His glorious kingdom is not just a kingdom that is out there, but it is a kingdom into which he has brought us. He praises God for his providential works. And those providential works are not just some works, again, that are out there, but they are God's providential works in which he saves his people. And he praises God at the end of the psalm for his preserving mercy. But right in the middle of the psalm, and indeed relating to all the other reasons that he praises God, in the middle of the psalm, he gives praise to God for his goodness. The Lord is good to all. I say that thought connects to the whole of the psalm. And it's my prayer as we consider that text that we would see not only that his goodness is to all, but that his goodness extends to each of us personally, that we would go forth with praise in our hearts that the Lord is good to me, that each of us could say that. So let's consider the text under that theme, the Lord's goodness to all. Let's note the meaning of that. Secondly, the reason for his goodness to all. And lastly, the comfort that gives to us. There can be no question, because the text says it, the Lord is good to all. We cannot doubt it, but we have to understand, what does it mean that the Lord is good to all? And then we must understand that the all cannot refer to all men head for head. This is not just a theological debate that we have to win an argument that proves the Lord is not good to the wicked reprobate. This is practical, beloved, because if it is true that the Lord is good, that is to say, He extends His goodness, He shows His goodness also to the wicked reprobate, that changes the nature of God's goodness. Then we could say the Lord's goodness extended to Judas during his lifetime. And then when Judas was cast into hell, then that goodness ceased. Now we have a goodness that changes. Then we would have to proclaim, if the Lord is good to all, head for head, the Lord was good to Hitler, and the Lord will be good to the Antichrist. The Lord's goodness, beloved, does not extend to every man head for head. It is true that the wicked reprobate can see that goodness of the Lord in the sense that God extends that goodness to His people, and the wicked reprobate may witness that, but the goodness itself does not extend, is not shown to the wicked reprobate. In 1924, this very text was used by those who sought to teach the error of common grace. They would point to this text and say something perhaps like this: all means all. And it says the Lord is good to all. And based on that verse, then, they taught that the Lord seeks to save all men in His goodness, but He's not able. That tells us something then about that goodness. If it's true that God in His goodness tries to save all men, but He's not able, the fact, if it were true then that His goodness extends to all, that affects the character of that goodness and makes that goodness something that it is not. So how do we figure out what the text means? Somebody says again, all means all. Well, how do we figure out what the all means? And that Jehovah is good to them. Well, we look at the rest of Scripture. And sound interpretation of Scripture, when we come to a difficult passage or a passage that is vague, sound interpretation looks at the whole of Scripture. Sound interpretation looks at the context of this very psalm. What do we find when we look at the rest of Scripture? We find Romans 9. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. We find passages such as Psalm 7, verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. That is to say, God's everyday settled attitude towards the wicked is indignation. We find passages such as Proverbs 3, verse 33. People might say, when they look at a wicked person, but look at God's goodness to them. God gave them a wonderful job, and God gave them such a great big house to live in. Proverbs 3:33 says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked." And that word for house in that passage is a word that fits the idea of a great big house, a palace. And it says the curse of the Lord is in that big palace. Goodness is not in things. Well, what about that small, insignificant habitation? Maybe the habitation, the temporary shelter of a shepherd in the field. Proverbs 3:33 goes on, "But he blesseth the habitation of the just." So we can look at all of Scripture and come to that conclusion. But closer to our text, the very psalm that we are considering, the psalm that says the Lord is good to all, is the psalm that also has a verse 20. "The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy." And we ought to put that together with the text. Those are words that came from the very same psalmist, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is good to all, but all the wicked he will destroy. Whatever the text means, beloved, it does not mean the Lord is good to the wicked reprobate in the sense that he shows that goodness to them, that that goodness is directed towards them. Rather, he is speaking of all the saints. The Lord is good, and you can find that throughout the psalm, references to all, referring to the saints. The Lord is good to all those who are the work of his hands. Who are the works of his hands? All those whom he has chosen from eternity. Hebrew poetry often will have two parallel lines. Sometimes they have one line that's anti-parallel, that makes a contrast between the first and second line. But here in this poetry, in this psalm, the first line is explained by a parallel thought. And according to that parallel thought, the psalmist says, "The Lord is good to all." And then he explains that by the second line, saying the same thing in a different way, sort of like looking at a diamond from a different angle. He explains that first line this way, "And his tender mercies are over all his works." We are his works. We are, as God's people, we are his workmanship. He is the potter. We are the clay. We are all the work of his hands. And all those who are the works of his hands, we are the objects of the goodness of God. And that's evident also from the fact in that second half of the verse, the psalmist proclaims his tender mercies. God's tender mercies are over all his works, not just inanimate works, but again, we who are his workmanship. It's not so difficult these days to take a computer and go through all the references of the tender mercies of God, and see that they always refer to God's tender mercies over his people. We are the works of God's hands, and God's goodness then is extended, is manifested towards us. We find that same thought continued in verse 10 in the context, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. So the works of Jehovah are those who are his saints who seek to praise his name. And that, again, is the parallel line in verse 10. All thy works. Well, who are all those works? The second line of verse 10 is, and thy saints shall bless thee. God's saints are his works. We are the objects of God's goodness who delight to praise his name. What wonderful news, beloved, that the Lord is good to you and to me. He is good, as the psalmist says in Psalm 73, truly the Lord is good to Israel, that is, to the church made up of his people. What does that goodness look like? Well, this overlaps a bit with this morning's sermon, but that's okay. What is that goodness of Jehovah? It is the goodness that takes us out of our misery, takes us out of that greatest woe, and gives us the greatest good. God's goodness to you and to me is that he takes us who were enemies against him by nature, we who are sinners, and he brings us into covenant fellowship with himself. And that's described again by that parallel thought in our text, God's tender mercies. That's a very descriptive word in the Hebrew. Tender mercies refers to one's inner organs. Now, of course, God does not have inner organs, but the purpose of God using that language is to cause us to see, by virtue of that analogy, how great is his love towards us. Tender mercies is something like when someone has such great affection towards another, they feel it. Someone they see in such great misery, it affects them. Maybe something like butterflies that we feel at times inside. God has great affection towards his people, such that according to that affection, he will not leave us in our misery, but will give to us that great good. And then all the rest of the psalm describes different ways in which God shows to us his goodness. He describes the mighty acts of God. One generation, he says in verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Those mighty acts, beloved, maybe the psalmist was considering God's mighty act of creating. But God's act of creating, a wonderful, mighty act, was not just something in the abstract. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? He created them so that they would serve the cause of His covenant. He created the heavens and the earth so that He could make His people the objects of His goodness. So that mighty act, all of creation created by Christ and for Christ, serves the cause of His goodness. Or the mighty acts, maybe the psalmist was considering God's mighty act of saving His people in the flood, or God's mighty act of redeeming His people out of bondage in Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. But even that redemption was but a picture of the mighty acts of God in saving His people. God's mighty acts then point to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, uniting Himself to human flesh. What a mighty act we cannot comprehend. Taking upon Himself all the guilt of the sins of His people and suffering the torments that you and I deserved. What a mighty act of Jesus Christ, offering Himself a perfect sacrifice on the cross. No other mighty act compares with the mighty acts of saving a people for Himself, redeeming us, making us His own possession, and then by His Spirit doing a mighty act in the hearts of His people, causing dead people to live. Those who were spiritually dead now to have life. What a mighty act is the act of regenerating us, and God, by His mighty act, giving to us faith, preserving us, and when the day comes, glorifying us, taking us into heaven itself. That's why the psalmist says this in verse 8, the Lord is gracious. Here's a description of the goodness of God. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. God is all of that for Christ's sake. He delights to deliver us from our greatest woe and to give to us the greatest good. And now when we say, the Lord is good, to us His people, we understand it in that context of the greatest good. Every other manifestation of God's goodness serves that greatest good. When God sends trials, beloved, into your life or into mine, that serves the greatest good. When He sends difficulties, maybe in the workplace or in a marriage, or in the church, when he sends persecution from the wicked world around us, all of those things, in the midst of them, we can say the Lord is good, because all of those things are serving the greatest good. When God puts us on our back with sickness, we learn more and more to look up. And he uses then those very things to draw us closer to himself in ways that would never have been achieved except leading us through that way. The Lord is good in all of those things. We sometimes fall into this, and it's not wrong when there is good news. We say, the Lord is good. The Lord provided this, some good thing. Maybe when someone is healed. But he's also good when they're not healed. And we need to learn to see that. The Lord is good to bring us into possession of a glorious inheritance, covenant fellowship with our God. What's the reason that Jehovah shows goodness to you and to me? Why did Jesus die on the cross for us? Why does he send his Spirit to regenerate us and preserve us? Well, it's certainly not for anything in ourselves, beloved. It's not that Jehovah looked down and saw some goodness in some people and decided on the basis of that goodness that he saw, now he's going to show goodness to them. Not at all. Because the truth of it is, if Jehovah looked at ourselves as we are in ourselves, we don't deserve a drop of goodness. We deserve the torments of hell for our rebellion in Adam against him. No one by nature deserves the goodness of God. And there is none that seek after him as we are in Adam. So why is he good to us? Well, the text gives one reason. This is not the main reason. But the text gives a reason that we can say, why is the Lord good to me? And why is he good to you today? And that reason is this: because we are his works. Because we are his workmanship. That's brought out in the text when it says his tender mercies are over all his works. He is good to us because we are his workmanship. Or we could put it this way: the Lord shows his goodness to you and to me because he has already begun a good work in us. And because he has begun a good work in us, he will certainly be good to us and bring that good work to its good completion. that make sense. The God who elected us in eternity and who took it upon himself to send his only begotten Son to redeem us. How shall he now abandon that work? If we have been redeemed and then he has regenerated us in time, he's not going to abandon that work. He will continue his goodness. He shows us his goodness exactly because we are his works. But then that leaves the question, why did he make us his works? And then we have to step back and say there is no reason that we can point out, why me? Why not my neighbor? We simply must adore the great goodness of God that he saves some. That's why the psalmist expresses those words, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." He is good to us because in his goodness, according to his good pleasure, he chose to be good to us. But there is a deeper reason. The text itself does not declare it, but it is declared throughout the whole of the psalm. Why is Jehovah good to you and to me? And it is that he would bring glory to himself. He is good to undeserving creatures of the dust, so that we who are the objects of his goodness would praise him for his goodness, would give unto him, that is, ascribe unto him the glory that is due. That's why the psalmist expresses that over and over again throughout the psalm. Sometimes we read repetitions and we might weary of reading those repetitions, but there's a reason why the inspired psalmist repeats those words of praise over and over again. Verse 1, "I will extol thee, my God, O King." That is to say, I will lift thee up in my mind as I consider thee. I will lift thee up in my estimation. I will lift thee up before God's people to praise our God. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. I will express that thou art the overflowing fountain of all good. And he goes on. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord. And we could add to that, great is the Lord in all of his attributes. Great is the Lord in his justice. Great is the Lord in his goodness. And therefore, he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. and his greatness is unsearchable. I heard of some who went out deep sea fishing. When the sun shines on the sea, you can see into the water. You can see that it is deep, but you can't see the bottom. No matter how hard you peer into the depths, you cannot search the bottom. And there's a picture of the unsearchable greatness of God's riches. We can scratch the surface, but we cannot search the depths of the goodness of God to undeserving sinners. God makes us, beloved, to experience his goodness so that we would glorify his name, so that you and I would praise him, so that we would gather with the saints and praise him and declare his worth in our worship. And he alone deserves the praise. That's brought out in the text. When the text calls us his works, we are his workmanship, not partly his workmanship and partly our own workmanship. We are simply his works, because salvation is his work from beginning to end. That's what we preach as churches: God's sovereign particular grace in salvation. Now, that does not make us inactive, but rather his goodness is that which works salvation in us. We are his works. When you and I understand that, beloved, there's great comfort. When we understand his goodness to his people, when we understand his goodness to us personally, there is great comfort. Because the text does not say the Lord is good to some of the saints and other of his saints, they don't have that goodness. No, it simply says the Lord is good to all. And that means, beloved, he is good to the aged saint who feels the frailty of his or her body. He's good to the aged saint as they take their last breath. The Lord is good also to that elect infant that is drawn out of this world in a miscarriage. Lord is good to that husband or wife in a difficult marriage, that husband or wife who is a child of God learns even by that trial to draw closer to God. That's God's goodness. His goodness is to all, to old and young, to married and single. even those single who would dearly love to be married, can say, "But the Lord is good." That's brought out by the name that the psalmist uses for God. The psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is good to all. Jehovah is good to all." He uses "Lord" in all capitals. Catechism students will recognize that as referring to Jehovah. Jehovah is good. And now that means Jehovah, the great I Am, the God who is absolutely above the creation, who has absolute sovereign rule over that creation, He is good to all His people. When He wants to show His goodness to us, there's nothing that can stand in His way, because He is the sovereign God. Who can say to Him in the heavens, who can, when He wants to accomplish some good that He seeks to show to His people, who can say, "What doest thou?" Jehovah will show the goodness that He intends to show. And He is the sovereign God then who rules over all of those circumstances that cause the psalmist in Psalm 73 to question that goodness. Until he went into the sanctuary and saw that the goodness of Jehovah is the goodness that leads him into covenant fellowship. It is the goodness of Jehovah to hold him by his right hand. Jehovah is sovereign. And He will show that goodness to His people. That in the first place is implied by the name of God who shows that goodness. But in the second place, the fact that it is Jehovah who shows that goodness, the great I Am, points now again to the character of His goodness. We alluded to that earlier. Jehovah, who is the great I Am, is not something yesterday and now something else today and then something different again tomorrow. But He never changes. Jehovah simply is. And that means that the goodness that He shows us yesterday is the same goodness that He shows us today, and it's the same goodness that He shows us tomorrow. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." It never changes. Even when I walk in sin. And what I mean is that when I walk in sin, or when you walk in sin, that goodness pursues me and brings about repentance. Maybe in that goodness, Jehovah causes me to feel His heavy hand. And He will cause us to feel His heavy hand if we are His children and we are walking in disobedience and are not repenting. His heavy hand upon us is His heavy hand of goodness to bring us to repentance. He is Jehovah who shows that goodness, and that goodness never changes. And that means we are not consumed. He says that in Malachi 3, verse 6. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so that goodness is not with us one day, and now we're missing that goodness the next day, and then it comes back another day. It's not on and on again and off again. It is a constant goodness towards us. He which has begun a good work will bring it to completion. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a great comfort that we are the objects of the goodness of a sovereign and unchanging God. But that may still leave some with the question. There may be some, maybe in the congregation here, who say, yes, I believe that. I believe that Jehovah is good to all his saints, to all his people. But how do I know that I am one of them? How do I know that I myself am an object of the goodness of Jehovah? That's a good question. But the answer, beloved, is not so difficult. The answer is that Jehovah's goodness, exactly because it is Jehovah that shows that goodness, Jehovah's goodness is efficacious. It's not a goodness that Jehovah tries to show, but then it's up to us to make it complete. His goodness is efficacious. And when Jehovah shows goodness to his elect people, he gives to us the life of Jesus Christ. And when he shows goodness to his elect people, he causes us to have faith. A faith that reads and hears God's word and says, I believe what this word proclaims. My college professors may mock me because I believe a six-day creation, but I believe it. That's Jehovah's goodness that gives to us faith in all that God has proclaimed. God in his goodness opens our eyes to see our sins and our sinfulness. Maybe that happens gradually, that we more and more see that sinfulness, sins that I committed in my youth, I thought nothing of at the time. Now they grieve me. But that's Jehovah's goodness, to show us our sins and our sinfulness. And then in his goodness, he doesn't leave me in that knowledge only of my misery. But in his goodness, he shows Jesus Christ and him crucified as the perfect sacrifice, and he gives me faith to believe it. That's the sacrifice that I need. I need that perfect righteousness to cover all of my sins. Oh, that God would give me that righteousness. That's God's goodness to work those desires and thoughts in our hearts. God's goodness is efficacious. Exactly because we are the objects of His goodness, do we believe? And exactly because we are the objects of God's goodness, we want to praise Him for that goodness, that we say, yes, Jehovah is good. And He deserves to be praised. I would never come to that conclusion on my own unless Jehovah had been good. And now, how shall we respond to that goodness of Jehovah? We heard this morning that we were unworthy creatures to receive that goodness. And we ought to have that attitude as well, but the psalmist gives us a different take on it that's complementary to that. How shall you and I respond when we see that goodness of Jehovah directed towards us? Just as the psalmist did, with words of praise. After he gives all those reasons to praise God for His goodness throughout the psalm, he ends on this note, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." Oh, that you and I would praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give Thee thanks for Thy great goodness. We give Thee thanks that Thou hast opened our eyes to behold some of that goodness towards ourselves. Grant to us, we pray, that we would be those who seek in all of our lives to show forth Thy praises. And where we have fallen short, be good to us. Again, continue that goodness by forgiving us and giving us grace that we may walk in Thy ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.